to the Westlake Eye Specialist podcast series. The Westlake Eye Specialist podcast series is dedicated to discussing patient education and eye surgery technology for the benefit and learning of patients. By communicating new trends and state-of-the-art advancement in care, we hope to elevate our patients and their options for better eye health and surgical outcomes.
I would like to welcome everyone to the Westlake Eye Specialist podcast series. Today's guest is Dr. Zarmina Vindal, an ophthalmologist from Austin, Texas. Dr. Vindal is joined in practice by Dr. Natalie Stanchu, Dr. Stanley Salney, and Dr. Michael Shapey. Westlake Eye Specialists are dedicated to excellence in patient care and also focused on bringing the most advanced technologies to patients for better visual outcomes. The topic of our podcast today is how Westlake Eye Specialists is handling the COVID pandemic and reopening. There is no doubt that COVID-19 has hit the United States like a freight train going 100 miles an hour. The virus has killed many people and has the nation on edge. Our citizens are out of work and quite frankly scared. As the coronavirus pandemic brought businesses to a halt, the pain rippled outward, blowing up sector after sector. At Westlake Eye Specialists, there are patients that need frequent and critical care. The reopening of Westlake Eye Specialists during the coronavirus obviously presented numerous challenges. While logistics and safety are probably top of mind, it's also critical to recognize the variety of opinions from the staff due to individual circumstances. Dr. Vindal is here today to tell us a little bit more about what has been going on during this time period at her practice and how she's seeing patients in a very safe and effective manner. Hello, Dr. Vindal.
Hi there.
Thanks for joining us today.
Absolutely.
I know that you're very busy, so we appreciate the time that you're taking today to talk with us about this very important topic that will be very useful to your patients before they come into the office. So what went through your mind when this pandemic hit? What were your thoughts about taking care of your patients that are going to need care?
That our patients trusted us and our employees felt safe.
That's great. So what precautions have you taken to make sure your patients will be safe when they come to the practice?
Yeah, so, I mean, we did and followed all of the protocol that the American Academy of Ophthalmology put out and the Texas Medical Board put out, certainly in April, which was we did not see elective patients, we did not do elective surgery, and we were seeing it only in only emergency cases. We were one of the first to start telemedicine. While there's limitations with telemedicine and eye conditions, there's certainly a lot that you can still do. So we did a lot of our monitoring of our chronic glaucoma that way, refilled medications that way, eye infections, swellings, lots of external disease we were able to tackle via telemedicine. And by doing so, our patients felt safe. And they were very, very thankful. So right off the bat, telemedicine was the very first thing, I would say within the first 6 days of us closing as a result of COVID, we were already implementing telemedicine. Now that clinic is slowly opened after all restrictions, were lifted, we are doing some very key things. Right off the bat, our schedule is not full steam. We are stepped down in terms of the number of patients that can come in purposely. We have all of our waiting rooms marked with chairs 6 feet or more apart, but we are actually encouraging our patients to stay in their cars until it's time for their appointment. And we have a great way to communicate with them with auto text and a wonderful phone system that we have that really lets us do that. When they enter our office, they are required to wear masks. We also check temperatures and ask them the key questions in regards to symptoms, travels, and exposure, actually even when we're scheduling their appointment and when they first hit our waiting room. Once they're there, we work around processing them as quickly as possible. And each room is cleaned with a bactericidal agent called Cavicide, and we have that happening before and after each patient, and we have hand sanitizer available for everybody. We also did something novel, which is we have a hot room. Hot room is where you put people that you think have an eye infection or an infection of any sort. We keep that room separate and dedicated in our office at all times. Nobody goes in there unless they're sick, and that's the only room they go in if they are sick. So these are some of the great precautions that we're taking. Now, for our employees, again, they are masked. Their temperature is taken. We also have what's called a breath shield. I don't know if you've ever heard of that, but breath shields are basically plexiglass-like plastic that goes around our microscope when we examine our patients. And so there is literally a guard, if you will, or barrier in between the patient and the doctor when we are examining them. So these are the things that we're doing in the clinic that I think have proven to be very, very vital in keeping everybody safe. And knock on wood, we have not had any COVID cases amongst our employees or patients up to now.
That's great. How is surgery different?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. You know, we worry immediately about the surgical atmosphere. And fortunately, our practice is lucky enough to pair with ambulatory surgery centers so that we do not perform eye surgery inside of a hospital, period. And ambulatory surgery centers are freestanding, separate buildings that are not connected to hospitals. So that decreases risk tremendously.
Key. Yeah.
Yeah, very, very much so. Each ASC or ambulatory surgery center is pre-screening patients for COVID. A few of them are even requiring our patients to have a COVID test within 7 days of their surgery, which is also a really nice bit of assurance. There's case limitations. Doctors can only book a maximum number of cases. We also have the masking protocol and hand sanitizer protocol in the same sense inside. You know, what's interesting about doing eye surgery, and there's a study that was done just recently by a bunch of eye surgeons that showed that, in fact, there can be, you know, aerosol or water droplets that aerosolize out of just even cataract surgery incisions. So we saw that study and started implementing right away some very safe techniques that will decrease the chance of COVID spraying into the air during surgery. Betadine, which is a cleaning solution, is one of the most effective ways to get rid of the virus. And we do a very, very good clean with betadine and have a bunch of different techniques that we use to try to keep the COVID virus from being exposed, or from keeping people from being exposed to the virus.
So now that you're reopened and you have all these, you know, precautions you've taken,
mm-hmm.
what are some of the everyday challenges that you face?
I think part of it is the insight on the patient's part. We want them to realize that things might be moving a little slow, or we're forcing them to wear a mask or checking temperatures really just for everybody's safety and good. So part of it is just making sure that our patients are on the same page and, you know, don't mind some of these delays. Some of the challenges are the schedule. You know, we certainly could service a lot more patients were it a regular day, but we have to adjust in this new environment. So keeping the schedule controlled, I think that's a bit of a challenge. And really making sure that all of our employees feel like they're delivering safe care. And the best way that we found to do that is we have town halls with our employees regularly where we're discussing safety. We're discussing all of the tools that we have available to them between gloves, masks, shields, face shields, and everything, really keeping them educated on the process and the ever-changing recommendations from the CDC. So communicating and communication has been one of the challenges, yet I feel like we've really taken that challenge on successfully.
So tell me, how can the coronavirus affect someone's eyes?
So yeah, it's interesting. If you look at the history of the very first reported case in China, the doctor reported that case was actually an ophthalmologist. And so there's no question that, you know, you can definitely see virus particles in regular eye fluid. So it has been seen, you know, in tears and the liquid of the eye. Now, does that mean that it leads to frequent eye infections? No, it does not. conjunctivitis has been reported in some COVID patients, but it is still not listed as a definite symptom or a regular frequent enough symptom in patients suffering from COVID-19. So it is something that we as ophthalmologists keep in the back of our mind. If somebody comes in with red eyes, certainly ask them all the questions that would help us isolate if they have COVID. But most of the times, patients are not presenting with conjunctivitis.
We've heard a little bit about contact lenses. Are contact lenses really a problem with coronavirus?
I think because you can harvest virus particles from regular eye fluid, the recommendation is always, if possible, to try to avoid wearing contacts. The same way that you can have a slightly higher risk of getting an infection that's bacterial from contact lenses. Theoretically, you know, could you expose yourself to virus more readily if you're wearing contacts is the question. And rather than take a chance, if people can be in glasses, it's good. The other way that I think it helps is the glasses themselves, and they protect you. If somebody's sneezing or coughing, remember, this is a respiratory condition. And so if somebody's, you know, breathing on you, sneezing, coughing around you that happens to have it, the glasses will, in fact, create a protective layer. In our office, you'll see a lot of the doctors and the staff either wearing, like I said, a face shield or goggles as a result to protect themselves. So glasses can be your friend during this time.
That's great. So what does social distancing look like at your practice?
Yeah, in particular, we've gotten rid of furniture and chairs that would clutter and allow even patients to sit closer together. We have every waiting area, only a limited number of seating exists now that is over 6 feet apart. Our staff does not congregate in the break room anymore. We've got, you know, people in our call center isolated out in different offices. And so really, really trying as best as we can amongst the staff, but specifically amongst the patient in our waiting rooms. We also prefer that the patients are not accompanied by another person when they come in. So we do ask, unless they're minor or they have some physical limitations, we do ask that the family member or friend stay in their car.
So what are some of the changes you've made with how an eye exam is conducted?
Yeah, we've done some really neat, I think, creative things in our office. I talked to you about what's called a breath shield. Those come standard on our microscopes. But what we did is created an exaggerated sized breath shield. So the normal size will be a tiny rectangular piece, and that's really not enough to protect against, someone's full face or breath. So we're installing a full rectangular shield that we made actually out of face shields and created to fit around all of our microscopes. The second thing that we did is we took those shields, again, face shields, and attached them to our indirect ophthalmoscopes. That is the headlight that you'll see us wearing on our head, and then we're getting super close to your face while we're shining light in your eye. Well, we've attached face shields onto those headlights so that our face and your face is a barrier in between. And certainly, you know, gloved at all times and washing with soap and water all of our lenses in between each patient. So these are some of the different things that we're doing.
You'd mentioned the traffic in and out of the office has definitely changed.
For sure.
Yeah. Are you restricting the volume or amount of people at one time? Is there a number? How do you guys ensure
That as well. We've restricted to no more than a certain number of patients every hour. And then also asking that, you know, their loved ones or friends don't come in with them. This is being done at the surgery centers too, by the way. If you are being brought by someone for surgery, they actually have to wait in their car. They're not allowed in the waiting room. So the sheer traffic number of people and then the number per hour are both being limited.
In particular, you see a lot of glaucoma patients.
Yes.
Yeah. How are you handling their need for regular care?
I think one of the most effective ways was us launching the telemedicine. It really, really let us touch base with and took care of so many of those patients over the 6 weeks that most everybody was quarantining. Had we not had that, so many of them would have missed refills, getting their drops regularly. So one of the things we did is even when we reopened, we still kept our telemedicine going. Even to this day, if there's a patient that feels uncomfortable coming in and needs to come in for a refill appointment, we offer them telemedicine as a way to do that. As far as the actual exam, there's a lot of care to cleaning and disinfecting any machine from which they will have exams. And we've also limited the number of tests that we might do in a particular setting. So maybe they have only one test at a time, and we spread them out over multiple visits so that they don't have to be exposed to lots of different equipment.
Yeah, so what do you need to do when someone needs to, when you need to check their intraocular pressure?
Yeah, I mean, intraocular pressure is checked by applanation. That means there's a plastic tip that is touching your eye. The first thing we did is purchase a whole number more of those tips. There is a special way to disinfect them that we do now multiple times during the day as opposed to, you know, the middle and end of the day. We've literally in the rooms where the pressure check does not need to happen, we have removed the tip. It's not even available so that, you know, the pressure isn't checked multiple times. There's only designated rooms in which we have those plastic tips that are then disinfected in between, regularly.
Well, thanks very much for being so informative on this podcast today. We wish you and your family health and safety. Westlake Eye Specialists is dedicated to creating a safe environment for both patients and staff. Thanks for listening, and we hope you enjoyed the Westlake Eye Specialist podcast series.